Wow. What a great start to 2026. I would like to wish every one of you a very, very happy New Year. I received texts this morning from those who noticed these things that in Sunday school, again, first Sunday of the year, congratulations, perfect attendance. We had well over 200, and most of those numbers come from our teens down. Mamas, daddies, you're doing a great job. You set the standard that Bible class supported for your family. What a great, great text to receive. Then I received another text as people were filing in, hey, we're having people park in the grass, which tells us the kind of crowd we have this morning. So I just want you to know on behalf of myself, my family, our elders, this church, we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for you making the decision to be a part of Azalea City the very first Sunday of 2026. Thank you to our Bible class teachers who got up and were ready and prepared for their Bible classes this morning. Thank you very much for those in Outdoor Bible who've worked so hard and given so much of their own resources and time to make sure our children have great moments in Bible class. Thank you to Taylor for getting our teenagers ready and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Thank you to Steve this morning. What a great job he has done. And the songs he picked out. Folks, when I was walking up here, I just reached over and told Justin, those are some really strong words to Angry Words. I know we've sang that song in years gone by, but you go back and read what we just sang together and think about that as we enter into our theme this year. I appreciate Steve leading us in those songs and for Cody's words and for the prayers and the scriptures. What a blessing it is to be here, right? I am so thankful to be a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ. I love first Sunday of the year sermons because first Sundays of the year bring hope. They bring hope. Here's why they bring hope. Because maybe things didn't go the way you wanted to in 2025. Maybe there were some things that didn't go your way. Maybe it was health. Maybe it was family. Maybe it was money. Maybe it was investments. Whatever it may have been, maybe it just didn't go your way. And now as we turn the page on this calendar, there brings new hope that was there. This is new opportunity. Or maybe it's in a resolution. Maybe you ate too much over Christmas, over Thanksgiving, over that stretch of holidays there. Maybe you decided, hey, doctor said I need to get in better shape and 2025 is gone and now we've turned the page and there's new hope. But that's not exactly what I love about the hope that I believe this Sunday brings. I'm talking about, hey, today is about starting the year with the most spiritual confidence you've ever had. Why not go in to 2026 as confident spiritually as you have ever been? You see, I don't want anyone, when it gets to our six-month checkup later on down the road in the June and continue to examine ourselves, I don't want anyone to get to that point and say, you know what, I'm just not confident in my salvation. Let's start today thinking of what we can do to better ourselves so that we can be the best version of ourselves this year we possibly can. And that's, of course, beginning with our walk with God through Jesus Christ. You see, as a church, we begin this year with something a little bit deeper and something a little bit more demanding than just your typical resolution. I ask if we can change the slide, please. Go ahead and change to the next one. We're going to begin it with a command from Jesus Himself. As an eldership, we always get, we start thinking about our theme and we talk it through and we pray over it and we pitch different ideas and something this year that we have decided as an eldership that we want to do is we want to be in our Jerusalem. Remember when Jesus had appeared before His disciples, before the ascension back to His Father and sitting at the right hand of His throne. You remember He gave another charge to His disciples. Of course, Matthew told us we should go into all the world, make disciples, baptize, and teach, right? Mark, He said, go and those who believe and are baptized, tell them they'll be saved. Those who do not, they'll be condemned. Well, then in Acts, He said it, and Luke records it this way. He said, I want you to be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, see, the place that they were standing, their feet literally were in Jerusalem. Where are we right now? We're in Sims, Alabama. You know, where is your Jerusalem? Maybe it's your home address, home neighborhood. Maybe it's right here in Sims. We want to let the community know that we love them. But most of all, that God loves them. You see, our theme this year, love your neighbor. Jesus literally said it this way in Matthew 22:39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Some versions say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. What I want you to understand about this statement from Jesus is it is not a suggestion. He's not saying, hey, I recommend you guys love your neighbors. It's not a feeling. Hey, if you feel like it, if they treat you right, love them back. No, He didn't say it that way. It's a way of life. When you and I decided to follow Jesus, you remember that moment. Think on it right now. Think of the moment you decided, whether it was walk an aisle, whether it was come up in a Bible study, whether it was at a Bible camp, wherever it may have been, and you decided, I believe, and you said it out loud, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and someone took and they immersed you in that water and you contacted the blood of Jesus Christ and God did it. God contacted you with that blood and you came up out of that water to walk in newness of life. You know what you decided right then? It will no longer be about me. Everything I do in life will be about Jesus. Jesus said this, love the Lord your God with everything you have, your heart, your mold, your soul, your mind, your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, it's not about me. It's a way of life. It's the life that I live. It's not a suggestion. It's not a feeling. It's just the way God expects me to be. So on the first Sunday of this year, 2026, we're going to turn to a story where love is not discussed, but it's demonstrated. You see, as Dawson came and he read to us from Galatians 6, 2 and 3, Paul reminded us there to bear one another's burdens. I love Dawson's versions because you heard it there at the end. If you think too highly of yourself or you think too important of yourself, know this, you're not that important. And then Reagan came and read to us, I believe where George probably, he reminded me that's where you guys were in the fellowship hall this morning. In Luke 10, what a beautiful story of who is my neighbor, right? Love your neighbor. You remember what Jesus, He asked the question, who's the neighbor in the story? And they said the Samaritan. He said, you go and be like him. You see, those are the moments in Scripture where we see God reminding us it's our responsibility to love our neighbor as ourselves. The scripture I want us to use today is this. In Luke 5, 17 through 26, we'll look at 17 through 20 for the most part today. It's a story that's really a miracle. It's a miracle story because of what Jesus does in that story. And on one hand we can look at and we should see the awesome power of Jesus Christ. But to me, Luke 5, 17 through 26 is also a love your neighbor as yourself kind of story. Let's look at it together. Don't turn the slide just yet. Look at Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Let's read it together. On one of those days, as He, that's Jesus, was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Him to heal. You understand that? Jesus had the power to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. This is a story about Jesus. Here, paralyzed man, yes. But I believe this story illustrates as well as any in the Bible what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. There are five things we're going to learn from this story today, and here's number one. In order to love my neighbor the way God wants me to love my neighbor, the way I am to love myself, I need to have compassion that notices need. This story begins with compassion. On Wednesday night, I told you, I've been studying on my own. At the end of this year, we talked about studying on my own how to notice people like Jesus noticed people. This is just on my heart. Maybe because I'm afraid I haven't done a great job of that in my ministry, of walking by people that maybe, I get so tunneled vision, maybe I'm going to get something in a gas station, or maybe I'm going to get something in the grocery store or whatever, and I just walk by people and people that need Jesus, and I'm not noticing them like I should. And so I started challenging myself to see people like Jesus see people. And because I was so moved by that, I started to bring it out to us. Well, then we decide that our theme this year is going to be love your neighbor. Go into our community. Boy, it's really all over me, and I hope it'll be all over you. But if we're going to truly love our neighbor as Jesus Christ wants us to love our neighbor, we have to notice people that have need. We have to have the type of compassion that will stop and will see. Before there is faith, before there's action, someone in this story noticed the need. We do not have a record of this paralyzed man saying, "Hey, take me to Jesus. Hey guys, really, I heard this Jesus is in town. Will you take me just to see if He can heal me?" Again, he may have asked that, but we don't have a record of it. What we have the record of is these friends, these people in this community, in this man's neighborhood, in this man's circle of influence, this man's encouragement group noticed him. Again, we don't have a record of him asking, of him pleading. We just have a record of the people seeing him. You see, they saw him. Loving your neighbor always starts with seeing what others may overlook. The men in his circle of influence, they didn't debate how he became paralyzed, to our knowledge. They didn't say, oh man, if he'd have done this and he'd have done that, you know, maybe he wouldn't be paralyzed. Or, you know, hey, he lived a hard life and you know, he kind of deserves a little bit of what he's got. And we may not say that out loud, but maybe they didn't even think that. They just recognized he had a need. And they recognized the one who could take care of his need. They didn't judge whether he deserved help. They didn't think about how inconvenient this was about to be. They simply noticed suffering. And they responded. I believe where the church often fails to love neighbors, it's not because of a lack of resources. We have great resources. I believe the church fails in noticing people who have need. If we're truly going to be a people that go into our community, I want that we're not a very wealthy community right here in this place. There are going to be those who are hungry. There are going to be those who are disabled. There are going to be those who've lost jobs. There are going to be those who are dirty, those who are poor. The question is, are we going to notice their need? Love begins when compassion opens our eyes. Look back at verse 18. We simply see there, they sought to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. That leads me to number two. We need to understand, if we're truly going to love like Jesus, that we need to have a concern that accepts responsibility. They didn't just feel bad for him. They took responsibility. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people and I felt bad for them. But I didn't do anything else. You see, compassion without action, you know what it is? Emotion. Oh, it makes us emotional. You see a disabled veteran, that makes you emotional. You see somebody who's begging, you know, maybe there's a, yeah, or maybe it's the other way. Maybe it makes us angry. There's some kind of emotion, makes me sad, makes me hurt, makes me angry. However it is, we have an emotion, right? The true question is, do I have compassion? You see, if I have the biblical love that God wants me to have, it's going to move me. That's what compassion is. It's a love that moves. This paralyzed man's circle of encouragement, this circle of influence that he's in, you know what they could have said? Hey, somebody else is going to help him. Somebody else is going to take care of him. Somebody else is going to carry him to the doctor. Somebody else is going to carry him to the grocery store. Somebody else is going to do this. Somebody else is going to do that. That's not what they said. They didn't have an attitude of saying, hey, you know what? That's not our responsibility. I mean, we are people, and I'm not talking about in this church, but just people in society that will pass the buck with the best of them. You know, I mean, we can chuck responsibility with the best of people. Look at it, from the top all the way down, society puts the blame on somebody else. Somebody else's responsibility, not mine, not mine, not mine, not mine. That's not what this man's friends said, they took on the responsibility. Loving your neighbor means saying, if not us, who? And if not now, when? Look back at verse 19. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. Going to love my neighbor the way Jesus wants me to love my neighbor, then thirdly this morning, I got to understand courage. I got to have a courage that overcomes obstacles. The challenge was real. Think about it. They have carried their friend. He's paralyzed. He can't walk. How else they get him there? They've carried their friend, their neighbor, their person that is in their lives. They've carried him from wherever he lives, and they get there, and you can start seeing it. All right, oh no, look at this crowd. And you can see their will, and what are we going to do? Jesus is in the middle of that entire crowd. Remember, it's coming out the door. There's so many people. They're not carrying him through there. But people wanted to see Jesus so much. Remember, when the came and the woman who had the flow of blood, the disease that she couldn't get healed from, and who had a daughter who was dying, you remember all these people were pulling at Jesus because they wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to be touched by Jesus. So Jesus in the middle and he's doing the teaching. People aren't going to, they're going to be rude. You're not getting through me, man. What do you mean? No, he's teaching. Let him go. No, don't interrupt him. So the challenge was real. That crowd was thick. The door to get in was closed. They weren't allowed in. Most people, they say, hey, you know what? It's been a good run. We'll catch him later. I don't know if you carried around dead weight lately. I don't care if he didn't weigh but 100-something pounds. It's still a lot of weight to carry. He can't help himself. You know what? Jesus, he'll be around tomorrow. Let's go catch him. Most people stop when the way becomes too difficult. But if we love the way God wants us to love, love does not quit at inconvenience. Was what they were about to do convenient? No way. It was going to require a lot of hard work, a lot of effort. They faced resistance. They faced pressure. They faced a lot of difficulty. But their love compelled them to say, is this really too hard for our friend? You see, because when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, that means put yourself there. If you were the one being carried as a paralyzed person, wouldn't you want them to stop at no obstacles, nothing stand in the way of them getting you to Jesus? Again, I want this man to experience being able to walk, being able to run if he wants to, being able to exercise, being able to go to the store himself, being able to go get a job. They just wanted this man to experience that, and there's obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, but they had the courage to fight through all those. Back again, verse 19, the end of it. They went up on the roof and let him down with his bed. Fourthly, this morning, the love of my neighbor the way God expects me to love my neighbor, then that compassion that I have must refuse to make excuses. I want you to know the story has been challenging up until this part of verse 19 when they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed. It's been challenging. Now it's getting uncomfortable. The challenge is we've got to carry this man. He lives. Again, it could have been down the street. I don't really know. But still, they had to do something, right? They had to sweat. They had to get involved. They had to be willing to do it. They carried. Now there's a crowd. Yes, there's challenges there. But it's about to get really hard. It's about to get really difficult. Because now, here's the conclusion they come up with. We got to get him on the roof. So now they have to find some type of ladder or something that they're going to be able to climb up on this roof with. They've got to get him up there. And now the roof, again, their roofs were different than ours. They were tiled. They've got to remove all these tiles. Then they got to come up with some type of rope system that they can lower him down safely. You want to talk about inconvenient? That's inconvenient. But you know what they did? They found the ladder. They climbed the roof. They got him on the roof. They removed the tiles and made a hole. They found the equipment necessary to tie off that bed. They lowered him down in the middle of the crowd and interrupted the entire gathering. You just wait. When we get into our community, when we get into our Jerusalems, love can be messy. Love can disrupt our entire routine. And there are going to be times when love looks extremely unreasonable. But we need to put ourselves in their shoes. This man's circle of encouragement refused to let a closed door or literally a closed roof become a closed opportunity. So as we turn the page on a new year and we adopt as a congregation a new theme, it's really not a new theme. It's the second greatest command. We must decide whether we're going to choose comfort or compassion. And then we got to let that guide us throughout this year and really throughout our lives. But I want you to look at verse 20. You got to see the scene, right? They've carried this man. There's a great crowd, closed doors, closed opportunities. What are we going to do? Get him on the roof, lower him down in the middle of Jesus. What's Jesus going to do? Verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." If I'm going to love the way Jesus wants me to love, love God, love neighbor, then finally this morning I have to understand, I have to have a compassion that cares for the soul first. Did you hear what Jesus said? Paralyzed man, They got his bed, they got him, and they carried him. They come to the crowd, they can't get in. They find the climbing, however they got on the roof, ladder, whatever. They get him up. Again, dead weight. They get all the stuff they need. They take the man's roof apart. They lower him down in the middle of Jesus. Watch this, guys. He's about to walk out of here. Luke records it. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, that's the friends who carried him, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." That had to shock everybody. They came there asking for legs that could walk. Instead, Jesus gave the man a restored soul. Why? Because the greatest need we will see when we encounter people who are hurting. Yes, they're hungry, but that's not their greatest need. Some may be disabled, but their handicap is not their greatest need. They may need money, but that's not their greatest need. The greatest need is Jesus Christ. The greatest need of people in our circle of influence is to go to heaven. That's why we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Because somebody loved you enough to give you Jesus. Somebody loved me enough to give me Jesus. The greatest need is not physical healing. It's spiritual forgiveness. The man went out of there walking, carrying his bed. He got what he had longed for. But Jesus addressed the deepest problem first. If we truly love our neighbors, then we're going to care about their eternal condition, not just their immediate comfort. So as we step into a new year, this text requires us to ask some hard questions. Who are you noticing right now that needs Jesus? Who are we carrying right now to get to Jesus? What obstacles will we overcome to help them see Jesus? What ruse are we willing to open up to get those who need Jesus to Him? My prayer is this year will not be marked by crowded rooms, but by open roofs. Because when love is willing to carry, Jesus is willing to heal. So as we stand at the beginning of a new year, it's time to ask everyone here this question. How do you want this year to begin? Not just asking about on a calendar. I'm asking about in your soul. In Luke 5, a man is carried to Jesus, unable to walk. And the first words Jesus speaks are not about His legs, but His spiritual life. Man, your sins are forgiven you. The same thing Jesus offered in Luke 5, still being offered this first Sunday of January 2026. He's still offering forgiveness. He's still offering freedom. He's still offering a fresh start. This new year gives us a moment that God often uses. A moment to stop carrying what we were never meant to carry. For some of us, leave the sin of 2025 and even yesterday and maybe this morning behind. If sin's never been surrendered to, I need to resolve that today. If I have a life that's never fully been given to Jesus Christ, I need to resolve that today. There's a decision to follow Jesus that I've been wanting to make. I need to resolve that today. You got here. Whether somebody literally picked you up and brought you here in their vehicle, or you got yourself here, for whatever reason, parking in the grass and all, you got here. What are you leaving here with? Better yet, who are you leaving here with? Let's begin this year where that man whose sins were forgiven and legs were healed began in Luke 5. Let's begin this year with Jesus. If you have a need, won't you come right now? Together, we stand and sing.